Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to all of my precious brothers and sisters, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. God bless you today. And we have another broadcast for you that is bound to speak to your heart, draw you closer to Jesus, love the Lord even more, because, saints, that's what it's all about. When we come on the air, it's to talk about Jesus. It's to talk about his goodness. It's to talk about his love for us, which is unconditional. The love of God for his children is unconditional. You know, there are people today who are teaching on first fruits, and if you don't give the first fruits offering, God is going to mess you up. God is not going to answer your prayers because, you know, first fruits is a test. It's a God test. God is testing where your heart is. Well, folks, first fruits is not a test from God. First fruits is a scam. God's love for you and me is unconditional. It's just like my love for my children is unconditional. I don't feed my children breakfast, lunch, and dinner because they gave me a first fruits offering. I feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner because I'm their daddy. I'm their father. And Jesus said, speaking to human fathers, if you being evil, if you having a human nature, know how to give unto your kids good things, how much more will your heavenly Father? So I don't know this God of the prosperity preachers, and quite frankly, I don't want to know him. That God is moody. That God will only bless you if you give. I don't want to know that God. I want nothing to do with that God. That God will only smile upon you if you shower him with money. And that, my brothers and sisters, is not the God of Scripture. That is not our Heavenly Father. That is not our Abba, or if you were to translate the Aramaic word Abba into the English, it would mean that's not our daddy. That's not your spiritual daddy. That's not my spiritual daddy. It's a term of endearment. So when I cry out to my Heavenly Father and I say, Abba, Abba, he runs to my side to see what's wrong with me. He'll run to your side to see what's wrong with you. This God, this temperamental God who's so moody, who'll be so mad with you, he won't protect you if you fail to give the tithes and all. That's not the God of Scripture. I'm sorry. That's not my God. That's not your God. So when you tune into this broadcast, we're here to talk to you about the God of Holy Writ, the God of the Bible. Now, there's a lot of so-called Bible preachers, but they're not Bible preachers. They're Bible twisters. They twist and manipulate the scriptures in order to bamboozle, hoodwink, con people out of their finances. Please let me remind you before I forget that tomorrow we have a wonderful program for you. As always, Fridays is the highlight of the week. When you tune into this broadcast, when you tune into Reformation News, Fridays is the highlight of the week. Because we get to have with us Sister Marie. And she's going to bring, as she always does, news. She's going to bring us information. She's going to bring us the latest. The Roman Catholic Church is doing to speed up the arrival of the Antichrist. So Sister Marie is going to be with us. It's a call-in program. We encourage you, if you have a question, if you have a comment, If you have an observation, we encourage you to call in. And the number is 646-564-9730. We encourage you to call in. We want you to call in. There's just one thing we're going to ask you. Just behave yourself. If you're calling in and you're from Paula White's church, I would encourage you to behave yourself. If you're calling in and you're from Rod Parsley's church or Eddie Long's church or Creflo Dollar's church, we would just want to encourage you to behave yourself. If you call in and you act silly and you start talking stupid, then we will first put you on mute, and then a second later you'll be disconnected. That's just how things work on the Reformation News broadcast. We like intelligent phone calls. We want to help answer questions that you may have. There's a lot that we want to do, but you got to behave yourself. You know, there are rules. You walk into somebody's house, you don't start jumping on the furniture. There are rules. If you were to invite me to dinner to your home, I would actually, as I walk in, I would wait for you to invite me in and then tell me where to sit, and I would not move because I'm in your home. I have to behave myself. And when you ask me, when you say, please come to the dinner table, that's the only time I'll move, when you ask me to come to the dinner table. And when I walk into your dining room area, I'm not going to walk up to your refrigerator and see what you have to drink. I'm going to wait for you to put the drinks on the table. I'm not going to make myself at home because it's not my home. It's not my home. So when you call into this broadcast, Sister Marie and I are expecting you to behave, to act Christian-like. If you have a point of contention, if you have a different point of view, if there's something that you want to present, if you have an argument that you want to make, make the argument an academic argument. But if you start raising your voice, if you cuss, we don't allow that. So please call in. Call in tomorrow. The broadcast starts at 7 o'clock. And, you know, tomorrow's broadcast is going to be unique only because I think it was yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, yesterday, they laid to rest the late Eddie Long. So we've been talking about this Roman Catholic invasion of the black church. And obviously, when you see the way Eddie Long looked in his coffin, you can tell that Eddie Long was leavened. He had been contaminated by that Roman Catholic invasion into the black church. And he had his outfit on. He looked like Dracula to me. Eddie Long looked like Dracula. There are pictures of him on the internet everywhere, lying in state. When they put the Pope to lie in state, the Pope is the only one who can wear red slippers. That's right. The Pope. Now, when a cardinal dies, and you know a cardinal's completely dressed in red, except he cannot wear red shoes. A bishop, some of his garments are red, but he cannot wear red shoes. A priest cannot wear red shoes. There's only one person in the whole of the Roman Catholic Church that can wear red shoes, and those are Satan shoes. And that's the Pope. The Pope. Well, Eddie Long is the Pope of New Birth Missionary Baptist Church. And, you know, he was the Pope. I expect that in a couple of years, they'll canonize him and turn him into a saint. Saint Eddie Long. Saint of the pedophiles. That's right. Saint of the pedophiles. Because that's what he was, in my opinion. He was a pervert, he was a homosexual, and he was a pedophile, a predatorial pedophile. So in a couple of years, they'll see if he, after his death, if he performed a few miracles, and then they'll canonize him and make him Saint Eddie, Saint of the Pedophiles. That's right, Saint Eddie, Saint of the Pedophile. Well, Sister Marie is going to come tomorrow and bring us all the latest. Who spoke at the eulogy and who said what stupid thing and what Kool-Aid were they serving at the eulogy? And how, I mean, I think the thing was like 5 hours long. And some news channels in Atlanta carried it live. Can you imagine that? Tying up network news for 5 hours to glorify a pedophile. Yeah. Yep, that's right. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. She's going to be, you know, because he just died. And because there were many, 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 many jackass bishops. And by the way, if you haven't gotten your book, folks, you know, when you read the book Jackass Bishops, and then you watch Eddie Long's funeral, you get exactly what the author means when he calls these prelates, these church leaders, when he calls them jackass bishops, because that's what they were. That's what they were at the Eddie Long wake eulogy, whatever that was. They were a bunch of jackasses. So tomorrow's broadcast is going to be very, very interesting. It starts at 7 p.m., and I want to invite you to tune in. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in the United States of America. Now, Saints, we've been talking about these hired guns, these prophets for hire, these money-loving prophets for hire. And we talked about them. We said what the Bible had to say about them. We read scriptures from the Old Testament, and we provided some proof text to corroborate my thesis that the only prophets who were on the government payroll, according to the Bible now, were false prophets. Only false prophets were on the government payroll. And true prophets, the true prophets of God, were not on the government payroll. We gave you scriptures for both to prove both points. And then we showed you that God had a prophetic word. God had a prophetic word for these money-loving hired guns. And the prophetic word was, no, you are not to prophesy for money. You are not to prophesy for money. Prophesying for money is a no-no. God does not approve of it. God won't have it. God disapproves of you preaching for money. If you are a hired gun, if some pastor can hire you to fleece his members, to stick up his members and say, give me your money, because in essence, that's what they're doing. As a stick-up artist, as a hired gun, you're coming in there to do what? To divest these people of whatever wealth they had when they walked in through the door. This is why churches, mega churches, why do mega preachers like mega churches? Well, because you make mega bucks. It's the mega million. It's like, look, you know, like the lottery, the mega million. You know how people go crazy when it's the mega million? Well, it's the same thing in the mega church. The mega preacher loves the mega congregation because it leads to a weekly hitting of the lottery. It's the mega bucks. And when people are refusing to give, or the pastor's gimmicks are not working, and he no longer has power over them to divest them of their wealth, every now and then he'll bring in a hired gun. Someone who will join him in sticking up his own people. You know, Dr. Elisha Coles, in his trilogy on Paula White, it's called the First Fruits She-Wolf Trilogy. And in that trilogy, Dr. Coles does a phenomenal job of explaining how wolf packs hunt. Packs hunt. And how it is extremely difficult for a lone wolf to bring down a moose. You have to be a super wolf to bring down a moose by yourself. It is, you know, it is either a baby moose, or it is a moose that is dying on its own. That's the only way a lone wolf is going to bring down a moose. A lone wolf can probably bring down a moose that is about 2 or 3 hours away from dying of natural causes. But no lone wolf is going to bring down a moose by himself. Nope, not going to happen. A lone wolf is not going to be able to bring down a fully grown deer, a buck, by itself. Not going to happen. I don't care how gifted the wolf is. This is why wolves hunt in wolf packs. They hunt in wolf packs. And your rate of success goes up the moment the wolf has a partner in hunting. I mean, your success rate just jumps when you have other wolves hunting with you. Because you see, one wolf is sent to flush out the herd. One wolf goes, starts running, and he causes the herd to run. And then 3 miles away, you have the wolf pack, the entire wolf pack waiting. They're waiting. And why are they waiting? Well, because 3 miles of running will cause the deer or the moose to be exhausted. So by the time the wolf who's chasing the herd gets them 3 miles down the road, a wolf pack that has done no running and they've got all of their energy, now they pounce on that animal within that herd that is out of breath and exhausted. See, they flushed them out. Dr. Elijah Coles does a fantastic job of explaining that in his books on Paula White. This is why he made the very clear connection, and he showed how this is why Paula White never appears on her broadcast by herself. Why? Because lone wolves know that when they hunt by themselves, they very rarely gain a prey. So they hunt in packs. And this is why you will always see Paula White with somebody else on her show. She'll have a Mike Murdoch, or she'll have a Todd Koontz, or she will have a Larry Huck. Somebody with her. Somebody. And the two wolves will hunt together. Well, that's why your pastor will bring in somebody. You know, even when there's bank robberies, there's one person who goes to the counter and says, "Give me your money." And there's another person at the door making sure that nobody gets itchy fingers and presses the alarm. Then you got someone waiting for the crooks in the getaway car. Notice how you have a team of robbers. You got people looking out. You got people in the driver's seat. You got people walking up to the counter and saying, "Give me the money, and this is how we want it." That's how it works. So your pastor, your bishop, your apostle, whatever the title is, he'll bring in people. Rod Parsley's famous for this. I mean, every year Rod Parsley has a Dominion conference. And Rod Parsley will parade in front of his congregation the who's who of the wolf world. And together with Rod Parsley, they hunt. You know, it's amazing because in a wolf pack, you have the alpha couple, and in every wolf pack, you only have a female alpha and a male alpha. The female alpha is the first lady, and the male alpha is the bishop. And then you have what you call betas. And betas are second-tier wolves. Second tier. And they never challenge the alphas. Never challenge. Because if a beta wolf if a second tier wolf challenges a first tier wolf, you're writing your death sentence. So a beta wolf will never challenge the authority of an alpha wolf. If you do, the alphas will have all the other wolves kill you. So you have the alphas and then you have the betas. And underneath the betas, you have the omegas. That's the third tier wolf. That's the wolf that does all the dirty work. When the wolves go hunting, they leave the omegas behind to babysit the wolf pack, the little baby wolves, the little pups. The alpha will tell the omega, you're going to do the 4-mile run. We're going to be waiting down here by the canyon, and you're going to flush the herd out. And the omega, you got to do the 4-mile run. You're going to do all that running while we wait over here. We're going to wait. The omega always gets to do the dirty work. And when the alphas get tired of the omegas, they kick them out of the wolf pack, and that's where you have lone wolves. A lone wolf is an omega that was so worthless that the other wolves didn't even want them around. So they kick him out. So basically, a lone wolf starves. He's unworthy to be part of a wolf pack because he is deemed stupid. You're not going to get this information given to you at Bible college and seminary. Oh, they'll teach you on pastoral theology, but they never talk about wolves. I don't know how they can be training you for pastoral ministry and never talk about wolves. I don't get that. Because if you're a pastor, you have sheep. And what is the common enemy of sheep? Wolves. And it was Jesus who said, beware of false prophets who come to you dressed as sheep, but underneath they're ravening wolves. So many of our Bible colleges, in fact, all of our Bible colleges and seminaries teach on pastoral theology, but you never get to hear about wolves and wolf packs and the making of a wolf pack and the members of a wolf pack and the characteristics of each level of wolves. You never get that. But you get it here on Reformation News. Glory be to God. So your pastor needs a stick-up artist. He needs a hired gun. Because over time, the people are not listening to the dopey pastor anymore. So in order to mix things up, in order to shake things up, he brings somebody from the outside. And then the money starts rolling again. The thing is that when the money starts rolling again, he's got to pay this person because this person, Arnis, made you and made the others give up the money. You coughed up the money because the stick-up artist said stick them up. That's right. So we're talking about these hired guns, and Balaam in the Bible. I'm showing you in the Bible how Balaam was a hired gun and how he was brought in by Balak, king of Moab, and the Midianites to do what? To destroy the children of Israel. And remember, we spoke about how there are two types of hired guns. You have those hired guns who are hired to kill. Remember in the Old West, how you had gunslingers and who were hired, and you were hired to go kill somebody. And then there were hired guns who were hired to stick up people. Now, your pastor doesn't want to kill you because if he kills you, then he does what? Well, he kills the goose that lays the golden egg. So your pastor's bringing people in. And he's bringing them in not to gun you down, not to end your existence. Not to end, no. To stick you up. So that after the stick up and you're broke, then you go back to work and you get more money, and then he'll schedule another stick up. And that's how it goes. Every week you're getting a stick up. And that's how your pastor gets his mansion, and he gets his jet, and he gets his luxury car, and all on the backs of the people. All on the backs of the huge flocks. So we've been talking about Balaam because he's the prototypical hired gun. So I'd like you to turn to the book of Numbers, and we're going to read from Numbers 22. We're going to start reading at Numbers 22 and all the way from verse 1 to 8. Because I want to show you how the scripture reveals that Balak, the king of Moab, along with the Midianites, came up with the plan to hire Balaam that he might come and curse the people of God, that he might come and neutralize the people of God, that he may come and destroy the people of God. So Numbers 22, verses 1 through 8, let us begin the reading of God's word. All righty, here we are.
Numbers chapter 22. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian,
Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field.
And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying,
Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed.
And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them,
Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me.
Now there you have it. The Moabites and the Midianites come to Balaam that they may hire him. They may hire him that he might bring a prophetic word against, that he might curse the children of Israel. So we established the fact that there are hired guns, are people. There are people who are hired. And this is a common practice, my brothers and sisters, in many churches. The preacher who's being invited. Now, again, not, this is not a blanket statement. It's not all preachers. But if you have a bishop and a first lady, and they're constantly parading in front of you people, preachers, and their constant theme is you have to sow, then you're getting a stick-up artist put in front of you every time. Again, if you have a bishop and a first lady, those people are entitlement people. By that, I mean they're divas. They demand that the sheep keep them living in opulence. You have a diva if you have a bishop, in most cases. There are the exceptions. Let me make that clear. There are the exceptions. You will have a pastor slash an elder slash a bishop, because they're one and the same, who is humble and meek. The first flag is if they have a first lady. If they are demanding that you call the pastor's wife the first lady, something's brewing. Because there are no first ladies. There are none. There's never been a first lady. You can't find, when the Bible says, and Christ gave to the church some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you don't find first ladies anywhere. You can't find the term first lady anywhere in the New Testament. That was brought in from the world. We have a first lady of the United States. We have a first lady of the state. If you live in the state of California and if your governor is married, his wife is the first lady of California. So we do have first ladies for each state in the American Union, and we do have a first lady of the United States, but we don't have first ladies in the Bible, and since we don't have them in the Bible, you shouldn't have them in your church. So if you have a first lady, you got problems. Got problems. You have problems. And this broadcast is not about that false teaching, but I'm telling you, you have problems. And if your bishop and the first lady are having conferences quarterly and they're bringing in a slew of preachers, those people need to be paid. And if those people are being asked to talk about money, then you know they're a hired gun. So we just read in Numbers 22, verses 1 through 8, where the Bible shows that there were prophets in the Bible who were hired guns. You can pay them, but you must pay them handsomely. These prophets who are hired guns don't come cheap. They have a large resume. They're very famous, as you see. To go from Moab to Mesopotamia was a long distance. You had to cross borders. You had to go from one country to another country. You had to pass several countries to go from Moab and Midian to get to Mesopotamia. This Balaam had this reputation. So they went and they got him. And they offered him big money. The Bible says that the men, the representatives of Moab and the representatives of Midian, carried in their hands the price of divination. They had a caravan full of money, camels weighed down, in order to get this guy to come and put the whammy on God's people. Now, yesterday we saw that God had a prophetic word. He has a prophetic word for all of these hired guns. God has a prophetic word. So let's start reading in verse number 9, and let's see what the prophetic word was. Let's listen.
And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God,
Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out.
And God said unto Balaam,
Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed.
So what was God's prophetic word to Balaam? Don't go. Don't go. Don't go. Now, why did God stop Balaam from going? One is God's prophets don't get paid. God's prophets are not hired guns. God's prophets are not under government payroll, as I showed you, as I gave you scriptures for. And also, these people are to be blessed, and you're being hired to curse them. You're being hired to go contrary to my will. So now we're going to hear Balaam's response to the elders of Moab and to the elders of Miriam. Let's continue reading now. And we're going to continue reading at verse 13.
And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak,
get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you.
And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said,
Balaam refuseth to come with us.
And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him,
thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people.
And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak,
if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. No.
Now, Balak said to them, Balaam, the false prophet, the hired gun, said to them, I can't go. God told me no, and if God says no to money, and no to cursing, I can't go with you. So now the men go back to King Balak. They tell him what Balaam's answer was. So now he doubles the ante. Balak says, go back. Now, you have my authority to give him the money, but also promise him a huge position in my kingdom. You'll find that in verse 17. For it says in verse 17, for I will promote thee unto a very great honor, and I will do whatever you say when you come unto me. So he says, I'll pay you big, but then I'll give you a big cabinet position. And what was Balaam's answer? No is no is no. Now that Balaam is fully following the Lord, now the men come back with this petition. And now we're going to see God giving Balaam leave. Don't be confused. The only reason why God gave Balaam leave to go with the men is because Balaam was no longer, up to this point, interested in what? In money. He was not interested in money, and he was not interested in power. He was not interested in money, and he was not interested in position. He said, God told me no, and I have to refuse you because I must obey God. Now, having come that far and having obeyed the word of the Lord, now God says, you're going to go, but you're going to go for me. You're not going for Balak. You're going for me now. I won't pay you. That's one. I won't pay you. I don't pay my prophets. My prophets don't stick their hand out, and I don't pay prophets. So God says, you're going to go for me, and you're going to deliver my word. My word. So don't be confused now because God says to Balaam, go. Let's continue reading. And we're going to start reading at verse number 18.
Therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more.
And God came unto Balaam at night, and said unto him,
if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do.
So you heard it. God says, now that you are no longer interested in money, now that you've rejected the position, If they come back, you go. But I'm not paying. That's one. And number two, you're going to prophesy what I put in your mouth. So now, let's continue reading, because today we have another prophetic word for Balaam. We have another prophetic word. Now we want to start reading at verse number 21.
And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam,
What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these 3 times?
And Balaam said unto the ass,
Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee.
And the ass said unto Balaam,
Balaam, am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine, unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?
And he said,
Nay.
Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him,
Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these 3 times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me.
You see, the angel of the Lord gives the answer. And the answer is, thy way is perverse before me. See, when God gave Balaam the green light to go, God said to Balaam, now you're going to go. You're going to go, but it's not going to be for money. And you're going to prophesy what I say. Now, he got on his donkey the next day and was making his trip. He had 2 servants with him, left his 2 servants in the dust. Why? Because his heart had already become perverted, and he had become money crazy. To be perverse means his heart became twisted again. Untwisted his heart, and he twisted it again. Why? Because he was after money. After money. These people have a short repentance. They have a superficial repentance. They will only amend their ways temporarily. But the money comes back into their mind, their heart gets perverted, it gets twisted, and they must be. So God says to these prophets, here's the second prophetic word, stop your perversion. Stop the perverting of your heart. Arrest it. But you see, it's a sickness. It's a disease. They just can't stop. They just can't stop. Here's a hired gun. Let me play this for you. Here is a hired gun. Listen to this. This is a present day Balaam.
Verse 8 is for the rest of y'all that don't understand prosperity, don't understand how it works. We don't want to leave y'all out. We don't want to be racist in here, so we want to talk to you all, the rest of y'all up in here, who don't know how God's system works and got all your spiritual attributes and ideas about this ain't right, that's not right. Giving is the top of the list. You can put your receiving at the top of the list, but you ain't going to receive much. It's divine.
Yes, sir.
It governs God's blessing. Ooh, Jesus. Giving governs God. Write that down. Giving governs God's blessing in my life. Goodness. See that. See this, please. See this.
Amen.
See, these things here worry you. You sure at the right church. People put money in my hand and all that. I'm just showing you the magnetism of giving. You wonder why it happened to me. Because I'm a giver. And I'm anointed to receive. And these, all of these things are for a reason for you to see how it works.
Now, this is Leroy Thompson. He's talking, he's walking to the audience with an open Bible, and people just put bills in his hands and says, "See, I'm a magnet." He goes, "Magnetism. There's no such word." So I'm gonna tell you what he really meant to mean, which is he's a magnet. Money is drawn to him, but that's a lie. He says, "I'm anointed to receive." No, you are anointed by the devil to scam. See, this is a perverse man. This is a man who, no doubt, God spoke to him, as he does to all these preachers. God says, "Don't scam my people." Okay, Lord, I repent. Okay, Lord, I won't do it again. But as soon as that phone call comes for another engagement, "Lord, I promise, Lord, I promise, I'm only going to preach what you tell me to preach, and I promise, Lord, I won't charge." But there is Balaam. And Balaam is riding that donkey so fast because he can't wait to go get those bucks. And the Bible says, in a short time later, after God gave him leave, just a short time later, the Bible says, and God was angry with Balaam. And Balaam says, "Why? Why is God?" Because the angel of the Lord said, the messenger of the Lord said what? What did he say to Balaam? What was the response in verse 32? "Because thy way is perverse before me." Your heart was twisted, says the Lord, but I untwisted it. And you went back and twisted it again. Here's more from Leroy Thompson.
There are those who haven't happened to them right now. I'll tell you one. I'll call his name. Jeff Phillip, my son in the gospel, got a church in the hood.
Right.
And got people trained just like you are. People giving left and right. Jeff had no problem. Jeff was the biggest giver to me. Jeff come to my house, stand in the yard and said, can I see Pastor a minute? And they let him in the house. Me and two of my boys sitting down eating lunch. Jeff said to me, "God told me to bring this to you, $10,000. He said, I was in Las Vegas walking down the street and God said, get it in his hand quickly. May on this entire church a giving anointing be released. May on the internet a..."
Now he's at another church. He's a hired gun. And look how he's conning this church.
Giving waves flow all over the world this morning and knowing what they're doing and expecting divine results. I see nobody broke. I see nobody's desire not being met. I see people moving into their dreams and visions. Because the giving anointing is about to open my way. You see it? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, pastors who listen to me, I see your church being paid off by the giving anointing. Find you some good soul and sow in. And stop all your strategies and conniving, man. Sow your way out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm preaching myself happy, boy. Woo, glory. Woo, glory to God. Sow your way out. Tell your neighbor. Now, I didn't say owe your way out. Some people are trying to owe their way out. I heard the Holy Ghost say, tell them I didn't say owe your way out. That means borrow. I said, what? Sow your way out. Tell somebody else. Now, don't get in your mind, I your money. I'm loaded. Don't get in your mind up here. I'm trying to get a dollar from you. I'm loaded.
Then why is it that when everybody comes up to him, when each person comes up to him, he extends his hands and takes what they give him? See, if he don't want it, why doesn't he give it back? Why doesn't he tell him to sit down? Oh, he loaded because he's a hired gun. But he does want their money. And you know what? Not only is he taking the money from the people in the audience, but he's there because the pastor hired him, and he's going to get a big check or even big stacks of money from the pastor as he leaves. So he's double dipping. He's taking money from the hands of the people in the crowd as he's walking. And he's slick because he's walking up and down the aisle with an open Bible. And the reason why he's doing that is so that as he's walking, he draws near to people and they can give him a little something. And they're all doing it one by one. And this place is packed. He's a hired gun.
I got money. I don't know where I am. My money is spin friendly. When I see something I want, my money says spin me. So I don't want you to get no crazy ideas about, you know, working you up. I ain't trying to wake you up. I'm trying to get you up. Shoot. man, my uncle did something on you. Sit down. So I'm going to give you some principles from these texts when I read them. I'm just working the text as I go because the Holy Ghost is so much. And you see, the disciples, they won't sell it. They ain't got no giving spirit. And then they won't give it to who? Poor and had enough given to them already with their poor self. The average poor person then got too many gifts. That's why they still poor. They're still poor because people won't let them learn how to sow. Their hand like this all the time. In my lifetime, every person that I've taught to change that hand style, I saw their life change. Some I had to run off because they wasn't going to change. They just had that spirit in them. I tried to change them, they wouldn't change. They just got this. What you got for me? Lady said in the bank, lady turned her computer around at the desk. She said, this is what kind of interest we're paying. 0.05%? 0.05% on saving. That's what your money, that's what you're getting back. You ain't getting back no more than that, 0.05%. And then she said, on CDs, 0.09. But yet, I have developed a $100 anointing because I sold hundreds like a dollar. And it come back to me in whops of hundreds. 40, 100, all kind of $100 bills, just like I sold it. Name your seed, God dog it. Name what you want to receive and sow it and it'll come back to you. You sow five, it'll come back in five.
He's conning these people. In other words, he's saying, if you give me $5, if you sow 100, you'll get hundreds. I mean, he's using reverse psychology on them. Now they're going to come up since, I mean, they just swallowed that lie. They're going to start looking in their purses and in their wallets for the biggest bill they got.
These are secrets I'm sharing.
Amen. They're not secrets. They're cons. I mean, this is a con.
So she was mocked to be blessed. There are seeds that you sow that mocks you to be blessed the rest of your life. There are lifetime blessing seeds when you're under the anointing and God heard you to do it at that time. It may be a seed that mocks you the rest of your life. That's why I stay. I'll never be broke another day in my life. You know why? I'm mom. Ever saw I sow seeds in secret. I sow some open.
Amen. Amen.
Man said he's going to take my church. I can't meet the next payment. I just got in it. God said, that's your assignment. Tell him how much you need. He said, $30,000. I said, be in the mail in the morning. What I get back? I say at one of his churches. How long do you think that seed gonna last? Rest of my life! They're putting your Sam in that church. God should send Leroy a harvest. God sometimes sets you up for a seed. You got to keep your eyes open, children. You got to keep your eyes open. I'm paying attention to all them poor folks. You're going to have them with you always. They're always going to be there. You can help them when you get ready. But they're not no harvest people nowhere. You're just helping them. God said, I'll give you back what you give them.
Well, the Bible says that he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. He who gives to the poor. The word give there in Hebrew means to release and get amnesia. He who releases and forgets about it lends to the Lord. In other words, the Lord will partner with you. The Lord will take care of you. The Lord will come to your rescue. This guy's telling you, don't give to the poor. Don't give. No, he wants you to give to him. Because if you give to him, he's good ground. This guy's crazy. He's mad. He's off his rocker. But here's more.
He took, be told for a memorial of her. Now, go to Mark 12 quickly. I'm going to give you some practice. Go to Mark 12 quickly. I want to show you how this works. Because, you know, we get all hooked up on this expensive sewing. But I want to show you what Jesus is looking at in here this morning. You think Jesus is looking at your black and gold or your hair or something? Or what you got? No, Jesus, you think Jesus looking at your Bible, how you got it marked up? No, Jesus watching you at offering time. Jesus watching you at offering time. Jesus watching you at offering time. Your money giving tell you where you at. Some of you lies up in here in this church and not tithe. They ain't talking about blessing. How can I bless with Christ? You ain't making them on $400. You won't give God $40. Because you poor, you see. The other person making $4,000. So, and the Lord don't expect me to give them on $40 off this. Look at her over there. She's making $4,000 a month. I'm making $400. Stupid. How do you think she got the $4,000? Amen. Now, don't raise your hand, but I'm putting how many of y'all up in here not tired? Any financial problem you got, if you're not tithing, that's where it comes from.
Amen.
Now, if you're tithing and you still got them, they're temporary.
Amen.
The tithes better go up in here this morning. Because I know some of y'all are not tithing. I ain't giving Leroy my money. Stupid! This vision big enough for your tithe. Man sent his tithe from Germany. Man said, I ain't never heard nothing like this. Here's my tithe, brother. He said, this is where I'm getting traded right now. But we said to them, your local church, you know, send your tithe to your local church. But if your local church not feeding you and you're looking for a church, go look for your church to send your tithe where you're getting fed at. You're supposed to pay your tithe where you get fed at.
Now he's got people from Germany sending him money, and he's in Louisiana. This guy's a Balaam. He's just after the money. See, as the angel said to Balaam in verse number 23, your way is what? Perverse. Now, in 2 Peter 2:15, in 2 Peter 2:15, these are those who have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And it was because of the wages of unrighteousness that verse 16 says, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb donkey speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. See, when you know, there's a saying, oh, that girl over there, she's boy crazy. Oh, she boy crazy. Well, there are some prophets who are money crazy. And when you become money crazy, your way, your heart, your mind, your life has become perverse. And that's Mr. Thompson right here.
Here in Mark, now you're going to be just amazed here where Jesus is at. Now, I'm going to see if Jesus, then Jesus might be carnal. Jesus might be in the flesh, yeah. You know, he ain't hearing from God. You think there's any time, is a time anywhere? Oh, I'm talking to y'all over there. You think there's any time where Jesus didn't hear from God? Huh? Do you think there's a time that has come in Jesus' life that he wouldn't do what God would do? Huh? Now, you know, Jesus said, me and my Father one. It's not me that does the work. He said, it's the Word that does the work. So wherever Jesus said, that's what God said. All right. Verse 41 of the 12th chapter of Mark. This is what poor folks got to do. You there? Because I don't want you to miss verse 41. Read verse 41 with me. And Jesus, the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that was rich cast in much. It says, there came a certain what? No, it didn't say that. What kind? Didn't say poor. It didn't say poor. Can't be saying poor. There came a certain, and a double jeopardy, poor widow. She ain't nobody providing for her. And she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him. Well, he called them. Y'all come see, because they know they're full of unbelief. There's a question arising in my heart. How much do you have to sow? What sowing break you waiting for? And it's the sowing that causes the breakthrough. Somebody waiting for a breakthrough to sow. Now, I can tell you right now, for my personal life, I sowed my way out of lack.
Thank you, Lord.
I sold my way out of my small house.
Thank you, Lord.
I sold my way out of hanger suits from JCPenney. Sold my way out. That's the only way you're going to get out.
Thank you, Lord.
Beyond your tithes. Oh, Lord, now, Jesus. You're talking about tithes. Now you're talking about beyond the tithes. Lord Jesus, this man going out of his mind. Sure is, I'm out of my mind.
Yes, he's out of his mind just like Balaam. Just like Balaam. He just confessed he's out of his mind, of course, like Balaam. He's mad. He's crazy. He's delusional. He's off his rocker. And that's why the second prophetic word, the first one was no. The second prophetic word is you are perverted. Your way is perverse. You are leading a crooked life, and crime doesn't pay. That's why, you know, those who led a crooked life were called crooks, kin to the word perverse. Your way is perverse. You are crooked. There's an old proverb that says a crooked stick throws a crooked shadow. A crooked stick throws a crooked shadow. So the second prophetic word to all Balaams is, God has seen you in action. God sees you going to and fro from one engagement to another. And the word of the Lord is, your way is perverse. You don't have any anointing. Now, here's another Balaam.
Precious Holy Spirit, I ask you for 1,000 miracles within 90 days. I don't know who the 1,000 people are, but there's 1,000 watching me that needs a harvest much more than they need the seed. They know, like I know, that they can't do very much with 1,000. Probably can't buy a real good sofa with 1,000. But we can bring it and present it to you for multiplication. I told my testimony. I ask you for a Boaz anointing, and in the name of Jesus and this word, I come into a covenant that today is the poorest you will ever be the rest of your life.
And what does the Bible say? The love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Here's another one. Here's another Balaam.
And I don't care. I don't care if you're so flat broke you can't pay attention.
Yeah.
You pay attention to this. You find something. If you have to do it, if you have to make it with your own hands, you find somebody. You tithe something. You take it to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is it. This is all I got, man. But I'm giving it to you, and I'll take it wherever you say.
Yes, sir.
If it's nothing but the work of your own hands, Jesus, I've searched this house over. Everything I got in here is broke, busted, no good. But I got these hands. What? Tell me, where can I tie these hands into somebody that needs me? Now, what happens when you do this? Well, he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life, Zoe, everlasting Zoe. The power of God is released when you hear the word preached, whatever it was, healing, salvation, financial prosperity, whatever it was. When you hear it preached, then and you sow into that, you release your faith and sow into that, that seed should be the seed towards faith that cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, we pray over this offering right now throughout this radio and television audience. We ask you to reveal to people what their part of this ministry is and what their part of what this message is. And as they're obedient to you, then they will be blessed, and the hundredfold blessing of God is released. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you live outside the United States, then your offering is used right there in the area where you're watching and hearing the broadcast. We know, we've studied and found out that Adam blew that blessing off over his tithe. Blew that blessing off over his tithe. Blew that blessing off over his tithe. Come on, think with me now. Who was moving on the face of the deep when God said, light be? The Holy Spirit. Who do you think the glory is? The Holy Spirit. Who do you think the blessing is? The Holy Spirit. Who do you think the power is? Ta-da! Hold your heading now, still turn left when you see the guy pass on you. Amen. Okay. Now, as long as he was direct, first sin was over the tide. So there's something there. There's something about that tide that's more than just a religious exercise. There's something happening here that God's very specific about. It's something happened here that the devil does not want taking.
Then people like to also argue about prosperity and whether God wants us to have anything or whether he don't. And, you know, that just... Jesus said you'll always have the poor with you. And he told people that had anything that they better be busy helping them. I think there's over 2,000 scriptures about what the Bible had to say about how we take care of the poor, so I guess we better be happy somebody's rich or they'd never get taken care of. And what does it mean to be rich? It doesn't mean everybody has to be multi-gazillionaires. It just means that you have your needs met and then more besides, so you can give to other people and help them. I believe that God wants us to be blessed, but I think he wants us to have prosperity with a purpose. Not just some kind of selfish, self-centered thing, but he wants us to be equipped to reach out to other people. But here's how I feel about it. If you don't want to have nothing, it's okay with me. Why fight about it? Why would anybody want to get mad at somebody because they wanted to believe that God wanted them to be blessed or healed or to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? I'm just taking a little bit of time to show you how ridiculous this has gotten.
As long, my sister, I know you've been reading the Bible, but as long as we say lay it up, the wicked going to keep it. But God says time for us to tell that money, you don't belong to the wicked, you belong to us, and I want you to get in the right place. Money!
All right, good morning, everyone. Today, I want to speak on an event that has confused a lot of people, discouraged some of us, angered a few of us. I want to speak on an event that has given a lot of pleasure to those who do not know Christ, given a lot of ammunition for them to hit the things of Christ. This event has also discouraged a lot of people from ever wanting to know Christ. I'm talking of the greatest, biggest scandal in our religious scene in this country ever. It involves the biggest church in this country. Allegedly, it involves $50 million in abuse or misuse of funds. You know who I'm talking about. And today, a lot of us are unsure what's happening. I get emails sent to me with a little triumphant from friends who have not known Christ and just forwarded to me all kinds of stuff. And I think a lot of you maybe are faced with questions and you do not know how to answer them. We're talking of the scandal that involves this huge church that is the leading promoter of the prosperity gospel in Singapore. So first we need to ask ourselves, what is the prosperity gospel? A lot of us are not clear. I hope today at the end of it you will be clear and you will know this is not a gospel. Gospel is good news. This is bad news. You will leave this place clear that this is a scam. And I believe the truth will set a lot of people free today. All right, the prosperity gospel.
Well, there you have it, saints. There you have it. Balaam. What's the second prophetic word for Balaam? The second prophetic word to all Balaams is stop. Stop. And, you know, God first used the donkey to tell him to stop. God first used the donkey to rebuke him. And when the donkey wasn't enough, then it was the angel of the Lord who told them to stop. But you know what happens with these guys? They don't stop. And eventually God judges them, like he judged Balaam. So that'll do it for today's broadcast. I want to play this hymn for you. It's glorious. It's wonderful. The title of the hymn is Nothing But the Blood. Nothing. And listen, let's end this broadcast with this glorious hymn. You know, God loves you. He saved you. God doesn't want your money. God is not asking you for money. When you give, you know what you're doing when you give? You are simply helping a ministry to fulfill its gospel commission. You're not giving to get a breakthrough. You're not giving to get a healing. You're not giving to get a deliverance. You're not giving to get a prophetic word. All those things are yours freely. You are giving to simply support the preaching of the gospel. So we want to end today on a high note. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Don't forget tomorrow's broadcast. It's a very, very important broadcast. Sister Marie will be in studio. We're going to be talking, and we have a lot of questions coming our way to be answered. You don't want to miss tomorrow's broadcast. God bless you, saints. Remember, it's nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God bless you.
Has washed away my sin. Nothing but the blood.